Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Landevin. Although I said always, and you weren't here last week. But anyway, you're back!
I'm back. I'm here.
Are you back in a New York groove? Are you back in black? Are you back to back?
I mean, I occasionally wear black. I mean, I'm in the suburbs of a New York groove.
the slightly less popular song.
Maybe they play it like a cappella. They don't go so hardcore as the sweet version of Back in a New York Groove.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
But yeah, scheduling conflict last week. I was subbed in for by an amiable. That's a good word. Mm-hmm. John Wallen. Appreciate it, John. Thanks. But yeah, we're T-3 days. T-3 days.
Nuts.
It's crazy.
This whole World Cup into new Premier League season has been nuts, and it's even crazier considering that the deadline day is going to be this very Thursday, but we'll get to that in a second, because first, Rob, we were both bemoaning something over the weekend about the Manchester City rotation risk. Now, I know John came over to Razzball and dropped some wisdom on some folks over there about how, you know, the points are there. Even with rotation, City's rotated players are still going to get more points than some players that are starting every week. But it continues to be a source of frustration. So we're kind of going to hit some bullet points here. And I'm curious to get your take on it. First of it.
No bullet points. I did a lot of research. We're going in depth here. We're breaking down minutes, points per minute. Go.
Okay. Bernardo Silva, are you buying into Pep's comments that he is ahead of all the other players at Manchester City in terms of starting the season?
Do I believe it? Sure. Because if he said it, it's got to be sort of true. But I don't trust Pep farther than I can throw him. Because we've seen what he's done in the past, given last year's injuries and then the absence of David Silva, what happened. Listen, Bernardo is he's a playmaker. City doesn't need him, but he's going to play. Given his price, 7.5, his low ownership right now, 3.7. That's crazy low. Mm-hmm. Given that what Pep has actually said, and it's going to be interesting these last 2 days to see if he actually jumps up above Mahrez at 4.8% and above David Silva at 5.5%, and he's a cheaper option there. This is the one fallback that I don't like about the official game is that, you know, the rosters lock before the first game is even played and we don't know the rest of the rosters. I wish that there was more of a little bit of a flexibility there. I know we can't change it now. I'm basically yelling into
in the goal game, you can wait until kickoff to change your teams.
Yeah, in most draft style games, you know, on Fantrax and the like, everywhere else, goal, you know, the formerly known Taga, I guess we'll call it. The artist formerly known as draft style soccer. I mean, from what I've seen of Bernardo Silva, he's going to be very intrinsic on the buildup for City. Like I said, they don't really need him. They have enough ability given, you know, De Bruyne, Sané, Silva, Mahrez, Sterling. And then even their fodder guys are awesome. I know Gundogan is being rumored to be transferred out. Phil Foden has shown out very well in the preseason games. You know, next time England's goes to a youth team, I expect to see him in there. But these aren't guys you're going to really roster. Gundogan, Foden, Brahim Diaz, Zinchenko. They're not guys you're looking at here. You're looking at basically the first seven guys here. But listen, if Pep's saying that Bernardo is going to be the most important part of that, I have to believe him until I don't see it on the field. I've always been this whole preseason, I've wondered where Mahrez fit into this whole equation of, you know, is he going to play more forward? Is he going to play back? Mahrez isn't the best tracking back defensive midfielder ever. He basically doesn't play it. All I know is for sure is when you look at the City lineup, there's two spots that are pretty much nailed in stone. The other three could probably go in a multitude of ways. De Bruyne is probably going to get the most minutes there. Fernandinho is probably going to get the second most minutes, and they'll probably be very close to 3,000 in both of them. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, when you come up with another point here, I'm going to delve deeper into the city point structure and who you should be rostering and looking at and like that. So ask your next question, sir.
Okay, just to wrap that up, I currently have Bernardo Silva in my team. I initially was just holding on to 4.0 in the bank to start the season so that I could upgrade from Zaha or Wood up all the way to the Aguero Aubameyang class, mm-hmm. Or Bernardo Silva up to De Bruyne in case he's back and ready for week two.
Yeah.
But after the match on Sunday, I was a lemming and went and Aguero chased. So he is currently in my team, but...
Oh, a lot of people did, and you have every right to.
Yeah, but then we had Richard, who's a fantastic writer in Manchester, come on and talk about Manchester City, and he guessed that Aguero not only will not get the majority of starts over Gabriel Jesus this season, he said he thinks it'll be in the teens. He said he thought, if pressed... admittedly, he didn't just volunteer this. I kind of chased him on this. He said, if pressed, Gabriel Jesus, he thinks, will get 22 starts. Aguero will get 16.
Wow. I'd like to see where he's... Is he just guessing at this?
Yeah,
or is he getting it from...
Yeah, just from his, you know.
You know, I could see... I don't have the entire City schedule in front of me, you know, when they play quick turnaround games, when they're in the Champions League, FA Cup games. I don't know, like, the days off in between. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, considering that last year we saw, you know, City basically when the calendar flips and you're in January, they basically start playing, you know, basically two games a week every week for the next 16 weeks. So, and then sometimes it's even 3 and 10 days. So because of the FA Cup games and the other games that they compete in ulterior tournaments. So, I mean, that's not a crazy, crazy thing to do. I mean, but 22 starts, that's, you know, 22 starts, and then you get maybe another 15 substitution appearances. So you're still looking at, you know, 2,000, 2,200 minutes for Aguero.
Mm-hmm.
That's not anything to sneeze at, because in 2,200 minutes, he could do tons of damage.
Right. And he did last year.
Yeah, exactly.
It just makes his star a little less bright in the fantasy sphere. You said you had a lot more stuff you wanted
Totally. No, go ahead.
Yeah, you said there was a lot more stuff you wanted to talk about Manchester City. The next point I had here was Kevin De Bruyne and if you trust him week one, but I feel like that'll be an easy segue into whatever all you wanted to get off your chest.
Yeah. So basically when you're looking at the City and you want to have City involvement, you know, everybody jumped on Aguero. They don't know what the news is on De Bruyne, if he's coming back week two, week three, whatever. So basically, this is a simple math. I'm not a math person. Kevin knows it. If anybody's listened to the show, I suck at math. But for some reason, I did math today. So City plays with a 4-5-1-ish kind of amoeba, whatever. You know, they have guys that play forward but are classified as midfielders in this game. So for this podcast, we're going with that they play a 4-5-1 because – they're only going to have one forward that is attainable from your official game roster, Aguero or Jesus, on the starting roster, and then you're going to have five midfielders. So just bear with me. So there are five starting spots up for grabs at City. At 3,420 minutes, that's a full season, that is 17,100 minutes total for five spots of midfielders. Okay? So last year, I'm just going to run these down for you. It's going to be awful radio or listening right now because I'm going to spew off a bunch of numbers, but I'll try to slow it down so it makes sense. So last year, De Bruyne played 3,073 minutes, the most of any midfielder for City. Mm-hmm. Fernandinho played 2,880 minutes. Raheem Sterling played 2,548 minutes. Riyad Mahrez for Leicester played 2,948 minutes. Leroy Sané played 2,415 minutes. David Silva played 2,431 minutes, and Bernardo Silva only played 1,510 minutes. So when you break that down and base that off of the 17,100, you know, I just made random guesstimate of what I thought those seven players would attain this year to get to that 17,100, because I think those seven guys are going to get the majority of that 17,000 minutes, because that's all that you can play. I mean, yeah, bonus time, you know, extra time does count, but it doesn't, because guess what? Ties count. So basically, I figured it out that De Bruyne is going to have about 3,000. He's probably going to be about on the same pace as last year. Fernandinho, 2,800, probably about the same. Sterling, 2,600. I gave him a little bit more. Stole from De Bruyne and Fernandinho. Mm-hmm. Sané's 2,400. I think that he'll probably duplicate minute-wise what he did last year, because I think that Pep would want to keep him and his spring and his step available for the Champions League games and other games like that. David Silva, I bumped him down 400 minutes to 2,000. And Bernardo Silva, I bumped up to 1,800. And then the wild card in this whole thing is that Riyad Mahrez wasn't in this equation last year. He had 2,900 minutes for Leicester last year. Yeah. So, but I don't think he gets 2,900 minutes in this midfield. I think I put him at 2,500. So based on those numbers and how that – so basically if you add up all those numbers, it's basically 17,000. I took off 100 because I'm a good friend and I figure everything out. So based off those numbers of what I think they'll play, so – the minutes last year, and then the points that they scored. So I'm just going to give you an example here. And like I said, this is going to be awful radio, but if you slow it down and listen to it, it makes complete sense. On a point-per-minute basis, Kevin, who is the highest-scoring midfielder, points per minute, in the Manchester City midfield?
From last year or this coming year?
From last year.
Ooh. Is it going to be something silly like Bernardo?
No, it's not. Okay. It's Raheem Sterling.
Okay,
he gets 0.089 points per minute based on his minutes. So basically what I'm trying to, you know, prove here is that, yes, last year's points matter, but minutes this year, based on what points that they garnered last year, are still going to be there, even though I basically took away almost 100 minutes from each player. You know, De Bruyne last year, 0.068 points per minute. You know, I mean, there's still tons of value. Do you think City's going to score 100 goals again this year, Kev?
Nope.
No, but I guarantee they probably get within 10% of it.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to score 90. I mean, so basically, based on on last year's minutes and the points that they scored, when you break that down, it goes Raheem Sterling first, Leroy Sané second, Bernardo Silva third, Kevin De Bruyne a fourth, and then you have Sané fifth, and Mahrez would be sixth, and then obviously Fernandinho, because he's not a scorer, is trailing based on points per minute based off of last year. So given the minutes that they're going to have to break down, there's still a ton of value. Just for comparison's sake, I took the other three highest scoring midfielders last year, Eriksen, Salah, and I threw in Eden Hazard because he's a big name. People are questioning whether he's going to be, you know, in or he should be rostered. Eriksen on a point per minute was 0.061. He would be he'd be sixth on Manchester City based on minutes and points scored. Mo Salah would be one, obviously. He scored 303 points last year. Yeah. He had an unfathomable season. He basically scored 0.104 points per minute, which is just crazy to think about because he went sick. And Hazard is 0.071. He ended the season last year at 173. And he finished in the mid-2000s for minutes. So the point I'm trying to prove here is, given the City prices, you know, De Bruyne at 10 million, Sané 9.5, David Silva 8.5, Mahrez 9.0, Sterling 11.0, there is tons of value when you compare it to other players. You know, the league average for points per minute is 0.048.
Oh, wow.
That is the league average in points per minute. So basically, one, two, three, four, almost four City players double that on a point-per-minute basis.
Yeah, so, it's not as though people didn't know that City were really good, but it's interesting to hear put in that context.
You know, when you break it down on a point-per-minute basis, I know prices are dictating how many of these guys you can roster as well, but I was thinking something crazy out of the box. You know, given their mad rotation there, and everybody wants to own – everybody, you have to own a City asset here. I'm sorry. If you go into the season and you don't own a City asset at all, or if you're in a Manchester league and you're a United fan and you can't own a City player, you're going to lose by a lot. because City guys are where it's at. Whether you own Sterling because you think he's going to repeat on last year, or you know, when you jump on KDB when he comes back from the one or two or three games, whatever he's going to miss in the beginning of the year, you know, I'm actually a proponent of doubling up on your Man City midfielders, whether it be De Bruyne and Silva, Sané and Silva.
Even from the start?
Absolutely, because you know why? I think that you keep the one City, the extra City guy that you're not starting as your first sub. So when they don't start, your City midfielder automatically gets put back in.
Yeah.
I know it's a ginormous pill to swallow, and nobody likes having a, you know, it'd probably be Bernardo Silva because he's the cheapest there at 7.5. It's a tough pill to swallow when you look at other teams and people posting their teams on Twitter. And you look at their bench, it's a 4.0 or 4.5 keeper, you know, a 4.0 defender, a 4.5 midfielder, and a 5.5 striker on their bench. And then you have a 7.5 burner. It's a tough, tough pill to swallow when you think about, man, am I really going to have a 7.5, you know, midfielder not start every week? But in comparison, you're helping yourself better, because if De Bruyne doesn't start or David Silva doesn't start, and Mahrez doesn't start, but you're rostering them, and you have Bernardo Silva as your first sub, you're automatically getting into that flux of points that City is gonna give you. I've given you the points of return. I've given you the league average for players over 2,000 minutes. Listen, you're gonna get gains from owning City midfielders, whether it's one or two. Listen, everybody wants to own Aguero because of the goals. Fine. Everybody wants to maybe own a City defender because the discrepancy between the top six and the bottom 14 defensively is just astronomically skewed, because the top six teams, they outscore the bottom 14 teams by almost 30% defensively because of the clean sheets.
Yeah. And just to wrap up with City in defense, right now I think the defender you can trust the most is Laporte, because he played 7 of the last 10 matches last year, and he was the only one that didn't have to go a World Cupping. Agree or disagree?
Yes. If push comes to shove and I had to own one City defender, It would be Laporte. You know, Mendy is the bell of the ball right now. He's getting all the love because Pep has talked him up to high heaven, saying that he's the most important part of their, you know, their scheme or whatever, and he's going to use him in any way possible to, you know, and that's great. But at 6.0, I'd rather save the 5 cents and then, or 50 cents or whatever, and grab another stout defender from another team, because you want multiple involvement in the top six rather than the bottom 14.
All right, fair enough. We're going to take a little bit of an early break here, let you digest all those numbers and everything, and they'll be right back to talk all of the transfers that have been happening.
All of them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, and we are back. Rob, obviously things are getting crazy banana pants as we wind down to the transfer deadline. Today, in particular, there are three quick moves that were pulled. We'll just gauge your fantasy interest in each of them. I assume that the Lerma deal to Bournemouth is the least interesting to you?
Yeah, I mean, he basically is what they already have there. I don't think he's any ditter, you know, better or different than Ryan Fraser or Junior Stanislas.
Well, he won't play as far forward as central midfield.
Yeah,
so, I really don't think there's much here. Now, the second most interesting I found today is Callum Chambers. And the reason he's interesting is because of the dearth of decent 4.5 options in this year's Premier League game. He goes to Fulham, which, Rob, as we kind of discussed before the show, joins up with Alfie Mawson. That should be a pretty decent, if not young, center-back pairing. They have Jean-Michel Seri protecting them from deep midfield. I just am kind of thinking that this Fulham thing might be a thing, and then that might make Chambers useful for stretches of the season.
Yeah, at 4.5, I mean, he you know, he molds well right into your punt defender if you're not going the Aaron Wan-Bissaka or John Benaric route on defense, which is basically everyone's, you know, $4 defenders. I just worry about the cohesiveness that forms with Fulham real quick right now. You know,
because they're Mawson, all new pieces.
Yeah, Mawson is injured and he's not partaking in too much of training. The other parts there, you know, Tim Ream, never trust an American defender in the Premier League, you know, and everybody else is basically, you know, fodder. You're not really trusting a Fulham defender. You're definitely not investing more than one. So basically, it's Callum Chambers or Alfie Mawson as your punt if you want to get involved in the Fulham defense. But like I said, right off the bat, I probably wouldn't trust it. I'd rather be fooled by not getting points off of Fulham and then rather own them and try to trust them, because like I said, I think the cohesiveness and their fixtures to begin the year, Crystal Palace, Spurs, Burnley, Brighton, Man City, you could probably wait till after the Man City fixture, and then after that you'll know who's who and what is what.
Yeah, then the one that I find the most interesting today, and it's largely because I was very high on Chris Wood and actually had him in my team initially, is that Burnley have gone and signed Matej Vidra, who of course is coming up from the Championship to join them. He actually led all players in the Championship in goals with 25, actually next to Bobby Reid, who went to Cardiff, who nobody's really paying attention to. And I feel like I should have mentioned somewhere by now, but I don't think I have.
You just did. Bobby Reid.
I just did. Yeah, so anyway, Cardiff aren't going to create anything, but he scored 25 goals in the Championship last year, which, again, level with Vidra, who now goes to Burnley, who themselves don't really create that many chances, and will have the Europa League to deal with this year, which we were actually speaking with a Burnley fan on the show on Sunday. And he was saying, you know, Burnley have had this incredible run of being one of the healthiest, fittest teams in the Premier League, although the big Robbie Brady injury last year hurt that, as did Heaton, or it was supposed to, before Pope stepped in. But obviously, with this ramping up in fixtures, that might be a bit of an issue. We may see some rotation. But what do you think about Vidra at Burnley?
This is not unlike any other year where we've seen the previous leading scorer come up, and they're always on either on their existing team where the transition to the Premier League isn't as, you know, smooth goal scoring wise, that they don't produce what they did in the Championship. Like I said, it's always an 80% of what you got there, but 80% of 25 goals, that's still 20. So I mean, if Vidra scores 20 goals in the Premier League, Burnley is a top 16. Simple as that. But the other thing, interesting thing is I'm interested to see where his price point comes in, because you have Barnes there at 6.0. You have Chris Wood, like you said, at 6.5. If he comes in at 6.0, he opens a new can of worms on the cheap forward ranks when you look at pricing, because once you get down into the 6.0 range, you're basically into the Callum Wilson, basically useless guys. Callum Wilson, Jermaine Defoe, Barnes, like I mentioned, Steve Mounier, Iheanacho, who's actually done well in the preseason, Sturridge, Muto, Rondon is a new addition as well. It becomes very interesting for that. It basically takes down the third striker down a notch. It was at 6.5. Now it goes down to 6.0 because you have another intangible guy who could play up top, because Burnley at times does play two at the top. You know, we've seen it went with Barnes and Vokes play up top, or it could be, you know, Vokes and Wood, or Wood and Vidra. It could be any of the two, but they do like to play two at the top sometimes. So, I mean, from that kind of value, I mean, Burnley isn't gonna create a ton, but I tell you who the one guy that makes more sense for, if you're looking for a cheap play on the Burnley side, how about Goodmunson at 6.0 now? That he has an additional playmaker up top, I mean, he's getting zero love from the ownership. He's got 2.3%. This is a guy who scored 117 points last year for a Burnley squad that finished in what, the bottom six in scoring goals, I believe, bottom seven.
Yeah, they weren't great.
Yeah, they were better defensively. I think, you know, Burnley isn't going to outscore a player opponent by more than three all season. But you know, ones and twos still count as long as you roster the right guys at the right time. I think Goodmunson is a good sneaky 6.0 midfielder right now, given what they've done with the Vidra, and maybe if they want to go to a double-headed attack, I think that, you know, Goodmunson could be a sneaky play there.
Yeah, and my attack rankings, which are a mixture of all the stats you'll ever hear me talking about on this show, they were 18th in composite attack, which isn't great. So those were the big ones today. We'll get through a few of these somewhat quickish that have been happening over the last week since we recorded. Solomon Rondon moves to Newcastle. For me, this isn't too big a deal. He's averaged 8 goals and 3 assists over the last 3 seasons, because one season he did 7 goals and 3 assists. One season he did 8 goals and 3 assists. One year he did 9 goals and 3 assists. So pretty consistent there. He's never scored more than 118 points. Are you any more interested now that he's at Newcastle than you were in him at West Brom last year?
No, you have to ask yourself this one question. If you're interested in Alexander Mitrovic, then you're probably in the Solomon Rondon business, because I could see them just mirroring each other goal-wise for the entire year. You know,
both
maybe,
in total,
maybe,
and that they'll all be headed.
Yeah, maybe max in a dozen, floor of 8. You know, they're going to be in that 8 to 12 goal scored range. Maybe you want to go crazy and think they get hot, maybe 15. Is the most they could score, but that'd be crazy. But I, you know, 12 is a good number to put on for both of those. And you know, 12 from a value striker like that isn't awful. But like, I think there's better bargains at the 6.5, 7.0 range.
Yeah, it's worth noting. What did he come in at, 6.0? For Rondon.
Rondon is 6.0. Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy. He will go on a stretch.
He's a spurt. He's spurty.
Right, and I think he's had a hat trick each of the last 2 seasons, which if you consider that he's never scored more than 9 goals in a season is kind of crazy, scoring a third of his goals in a match.
What do you think Newcastle does up top then? Do you think that Mudo and Rondon play next to each other, or do you think
at the start of the season. I think it's Rondon and his Premier League experience, and then we might see Muto brought in. Kennedy on the left, and I guess still Richie on the right. I don't know. I'm not too terribly excited about what Newcastle are doing. Returning to the scene of the Vidra crime, Burnley have also made a couple other signings lately. One, Ben Gibson, very solid signing. He was one of the best defenders at Middlesbrough the year that they were top 10 in defense and very, very bad everywhere else. They also bring in Joe Hart, which obviously did not go well for West Ham last season. But, and we kind of joked about this in the pre-show, if there was any club that could rehabilitate an English goalkeeper, would it not be Burnley?
Oh, 100%. I mean, listen, the way that they're hurting right now, Joe Hart looks like, you know, the bell, you know, the starter uses again, but he looks like the best looking girl at 2 a.m. on Burnley.
Yeah. And he could rack up some points. I mean, this Burnley defense is a very good one, and all made all the better by bringing in Gibson, because that means when one of them gets hurt, it won't be Kevin Long, who, while a 4.0 cheap option last year, also is not very good at football.
Yeah.
So, or soccer, depending on where you're listening to the show from.
Burnley's defense of Lowton, me, Ward is out right now. I guess Tarkowski is a starter, and Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a lot of center defenders to me. I don't know. Most of those guys are center based.
Yeah.
You know, Steve, we're waiting for, I think Steven Ward is probably the best value play there because of what we saw offensively.
Because they're all the same price.
Yeah, literally. But I'm saying, for return, I want the guy going forward.
Yeah. And we've had this whole defender assists versus goals argument a trillion times, and we could do it a trillion more. We'll leave them there. Next up, Ghazal moves to Leicester, whose transfer policy seems to be Algerians are good, right? They bring in him to replace Mahrez. Just a fun little stat. 2 goals and 3 assists last year.
Yay.
Which isn't great. Admittedly, only had 7 starts. And his 2 goals did come in those 7 starts. The assists, weirdly, just happened in every match he didn't start. Which
That's
is
crazy.
Just a weird, not really helpful, but piece of information.
Yeah. I don't think he changes the fourth president's status on Leicester.
I'd agree. But I will say, kind of like with Bobby Reid earlier, we haven't really talked about James Maddison at all. We've been talking about all the other promoted players like your Sessegnons, and then obviously Diogo Jota is somebody that we've talked about a lot already.
We can talk about his wife's ice cream. It's really good.
All right. It's worth noting, though, that James Maddison had as many goals as Jota last year. And, or is that right? Hold on. I don't think that's right. Checking. No, he did not. He had 14 goals last year. But he had 21 goals and assists, which is combined goals and assists, obviously, which was level with Sessegnon and one less than Jota. And he's getting, like, no coverage at all. And he is dinged up a little bit right now. We're not sure he's going to start the season. But while we're on Leicester, I just felt like we should give a little love to our fourth president.
We should give more love to Mark Albrighton at 5.5.
You think? I'm still torn between the whole him versus Gray thing, unless you think one of them is moving to that right side.
One of them is moving to the right side. I think Albrighton is the guy to naturally do that. I don't think they would take Gray away from his more dominating side because speed is Gray's game and the ability to get past players. I think Albrighton could basically play right, left, or center if they needed him to.
True, and it would be worth keeping an eye on who takes those corners because it very well could be Albrighton, who has a fantastic ball in him. It could also be Fuchs if he actually wins his job, but we're not super sure that's going to be what happens yet. So
it could be someone completely different, and Mark Albrighton knows.
Mark Albrighton knows all. Now back to Fulham. Max Meyer, they signed from Schalke, kind of. He was actually on a free transfer. Now, this was supposed to be one of the brightest prospects in world football a couple years back, a common trend in this Premier League window. But he was forced to play deeper last season, played 24 Bundesliga matches, had an incredible 0 goals and 0 assists.
That's
yet
great.
I still contend he's better than Jason Puncheon. Deal with it. And I think Crystal Palace are going to have a bit of an attacking resurgence this season. What do you think about Max Meyer?
I want to see how he develops into the Premier League play. You know, Bundesliga, and he struggled there because basically he peaked like 4 years ago. He was basically like, you know, on a rocket ship to stardom 4 years ago because of what he did in the youth tournament. I want to see how he gels with the team. You know, Milivojevic is not knotted on there. Townsend is knotted on. MacArthur is probably knotted on as well. Then you bring in the new guy, Chick. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I'm trying to see a spot for him right off the bat, depending on how offensive, you know, Crystal Palace wants to go. Because you still have Zaha there. You still have Benteke. You got the Norwegian Goliath, Sorluth. And, you know, I think Max Meyer is this year's Connor Wickham from 10 years ago when Connor Wickham was being touted as a great prospect. I'm kidding. I'm only kidding.
We'll shift now to Everton, who have signed Lucas Digne. Was at Barcelona. People will probably recognize the name just because of the profile. Only had 14 starts last season, just 4 clean sheets there. No goals or assists for him either. But it is worth noting that Everton have a very kind start to their season. So we'll use Digne as kind of an entry point to just talk about this Everton defense on the whole, because Ashley Williams also left, which means that there are probably 2 spots.
They're going to miss him, dude. It's crazy.
Not emotionally or defensively, but maybe in some other ways. So the question is, whoever wins those spots, are you interested in them just because they're part of an Everton defense that, while not very good last season, does have very favorable matchups to start the year?
Listen, Everton is interesting. I just don't know how much defensively I'm going to buy into it. The Digne signing is just a giant flag in front of Leighton Baines' face that, listen, you got to do some stuff or you're going to get replaced. Michael Keane needs a backup, you know, a bounce back season. Believe it or not, I think Jagielka at 4.5 is a phenomenal value because I think he's going to center that defense because they need some kind of veteran there. Coleman on the other opposite side, we know what Coleman is, whether he gets back to, you know, pre-leg break this year or maybe halfway through the year, something to keep an eye on. But Digne is definitely a flag, and anybody who owns Leighton Baines right now faced, you know, 1.8% is Leighton Baines ownership. Digne is 2.2. So I think there's some belief that he's already taken over him. You know, Everton needs some solidity in the back, and Keane needs a bounce back, like I said. Like Jagielka at 4.5, I don't see any other person there that's going to start over him to start the season. It's not going to be Cuco Martinez. It's not going to be Jonjo Kenny.
Morey's out. Obviously, yeah. Ashley Williams is out.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Mason Holgate. They're wing players. Coleman's a wing player. Jonjo
Kenny. To be fair, Holgate was originally a center back.
Yeah.
Before they kept playing him at right back. Just as a thought. A wing.
Yeah. I mean, but when you look at the defense, Kev, who's going to play next to Keen in the middle? It's got to be Jagielka right now.
Yeah, you'd assume. Yeah.
I think the battle is more Baines, Digne, Coleman, early season fitness to the what we saw out of Jonjo Kenny last year.
Yeah, although you'd assume Coleman will eventually win that job easily, and he should his own value later on. Crystal Palace. Oh, I wrote down Kouyaté. That doesn't matter. He's a defensive midfielder, and Tauge doesn't exist anymore. We're very sad about it, but that's just how it do. So now let's get a little hypothetical on some folks.
Let's hypothesize.
Moves that are allegedly close. We won't get into the likelihood of them. We'll just get into the potential fantasy impact because you won't hear from us in between deadline day and when rosters will have locked already. Toby Alderweireld. There's nobody else interested other than Manchester United. Would you be confident owning him regardless of where he ends up because he'd either be in the Tottenham defense or the United defense?
What is he, 6'5"?
I would assume so. Chris. Maybe not. He did miss a lot of
last season. No, he's 6.0. Everybody's 6.0 on Spurs. Yeah, at 6.0, I mean, he's... I mean, United did lead the league last year in clean sheets. If he goes there, it's basically like a mutual swap him for, I guess, Phil Jones. Yeah, I mean, at 6.0, you kind of have to take notice. But he'd be your premium defender. But if buying into premium defense is your thing, then you probably are looking for someone who probably plays a wing, gets more assists, does things like that. And you're probably looking at Andrew Roberts.
Yeah, whose ownership is now so high that I actually shifted off of him because I was like, all right, this is getting a little crazy. The other side of a potential swap deal that I don't personally see happening, but again, that's not the point of this, is Anthony Martial theoretically going back in the Toby Alderweireld deal to Tottenham. Again, don't see that happening. But on the fantasy side, if Martial goes to Tottenham, are you interested?
Well, then it starts bringing into the play on minutes. Who's going to play how many minutes? How many minutes is Martial going to etch out into that system? Is he going to play as many minutes as Son? Is he going to steal from other guys, you know, on the ball capabilities like Eriksen? Assist-wise, it's a question mark. I probably wouldn't right off the bat. I probably wouldn't even look at Anthony Martial.
Okay. And if he ended up at Chelsea, your beloved Chelsea, would he be interesting there? Do you think he'd be a guaranteed starter if he was there?
I'd buy 10 Anthony Martials if he was at Chelsea because Chelsea's the team. They're the best. No, I'm kidding. I don't care where Martial goes. I want to see him not be what we saw at United, somewhere else first. He's the guy we coined this phrase a lot. I'd rather be, you know, late than, you know, too early. He's the guy. I'd rather have him do stuff and then me jump on the wagon 2 weeks later than buy into him 2 weeks too soon. And then just, you know, he'd be gone basically before you reap the benefits of what he did.
Yeah.
I got one for you. What do you think if the Adama Traore move goes through?
Okay. I've seen a lot of people talking about his dribble efficiency.
This isn't Tauge. I know. I'm sorry.
No. It's fine. And he is very fast and he's very good in 1v1s. The problem is he's like literally a crap Aaron Lennon. Once he beats anyone, he has no idea what to do. He's okay. This might seem harsh. He's barely a footballer. He's basically a track star that somebody put a ball in front of and told him to figure out what to do with it. And then he didn't. Like, I have very, very little time for Adama Traore in an official fantasy game.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think it's a good analogy. He's like Usain Bolt with a soccer ball.
Who just signed for an Australian team today.
Yep. Hey, good segue, Rob. I don't know what people love about him. He's basically, he's like a 40% Wilfred Zaha is what he is football-wise.
Yeah, one Yannick Bolasie.
Yeah, he's Yannick Bolasie without the cool haircuts.
Yeah, I'm not very excited about Adama Traore. I just noticed that I'm super leaning towards deals that are close to our two clubs, I assume just because I'm more aware of them. But Chelsea, it sounds like are close to getting Kepa Arrizabalaga from Atletico Bilbao. Sounds like the idea is that you'll sign, you'll pay his release clause, then Thibaut Courtois will be free to F off to Madrid at some point.
Good riddance. Freaking Master Blaster. He looks like Master Blaster from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
He also looks like my friend Tom McGookin, but don't worry about that.
I feel bad for your friend Tom McGookin.
Oh, flames! So, anyway, he is a very good goalkeeper. Again, at Bilbao, has a very high profile. Real Madrid themselves were interested in him in the winter window. What do you think about the Chelsea defense on the whole, and what would you think about bringing in a first-year goalkeeper like that?
I never really trusted the Chelsea goalie as even a Chelsea supporter. Listen, I wouldn't own Courtois at his price, so I don't think that would change too much, given that I would jump over to, you know, the new goalkeeper who could be just as good as Courtois or worse, basically, if he's rated the same or less. You know, 5.5 to spend on a keeper is crazy pants. Listen, keep it to under 9.0 on your keeper and you'll be fine for the whole season. Find 4.5 guys and rotate around. You'll luck into more clean sheets and save points than you will with rostering a 6.0 or Ederson or, you know, looking, going that way.
Yeah. Well, you could just get a 6.0 and a non-existent 3.0, but
shoot to three.
Also allegedly heading to Chelsea soon. Real Madrid are going to allow, again, allegedly, going to allow Kovacic to join Chelsea. Kind of answers where that third piece is in the Chelsea midfield. But again, not a super attacking player. What do you think the fantasy impact would be there? Would it benefit the front three because now they just get to stay forward all the time? Or do you have any actual interest in Kovacic?
Well, it would benefit it from the standpoint that Ross Barkley wouldn't be on the freaking pitch.
Yep, it sure would. Also, we talked with a Chelsea fan on Twitter today. Stop hogging all the central midfielders. Like, we need one of those. And you were like, Barkley. And for a while, you were also after Grealish. And now it sounds like you're going for Kovacic. Like, chill. You've bought four in the last 12 months. You're about to bring in a fifth.
Water. We'll give you drink water.
Great. To be fair, he's a human being that plays central midfield. And that's the bar that I've lowered at this particular point in time.
What do you think preseason-wise I don't know how much Chelsea footage you've seen or what you think, but the guy on Chelsea that's got a little helium right now is Hudson Odoi.
Yeah, he does have a little helium, but he plays where Hazard plays. So like,
I know, but him or Lucas Torreira from Arsenal.
Neither, because Torreira is a holding midfielder.
I know, but he's getting playing time.
He is. That's true. Are both of them at the same price or something? Is that why you're doing this to me?
4.5 and 5.0. They're perfect punts. Midfielders.
Gotcha. I actually don't really mind those if you're looking for those punts. I currently have Stevens in at 4.5, but I don't really like where my team's at right now, and we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, my team is all thumbs right now.
But Torreira will probably start 20-plus matches.
Yeah.
Hudson-Odoi maybe 10-plus. So just on that. But I do think Hudson-Odoi would be more dangerous when he plays. But he was he kind of had that young Sterling factor a little bit, especially in the Community Shield, where he was constantly either thinking too much or too little.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah,
I just think it's the young player thing. Been playing well in the preseason as well. So, I mean, listen, there's Arsenal supporters that listen to this podcast. I got to mention their name a couple times. I mean, we don't really acknowledge them because they're like the stupid yellow-headed kid in the back with blonde-haired gypsy. So do you think Torreira starts next to Xhaka then?
Yes. Yeah.
There goes all my Mohamed El Neni shares down the drain.
Well, I mean, Ramsey will obviously be what complicates this, but didn't he get hurt again? I feel like I saw that somewhere.
What, tiny shoes?
Yeah, probably.
He sneezed too hard.
He should know better by now.
Aaron Ramsey.
Oh, man. I'll wrap up potential transfers with the Grealish one, which has basically been the only one that Tottenham fans have been hearing about this whole time. He wouldn't play if he comes to us, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Yeah, like I was saying, if Martial comes, I can't guarantee him playing time. And you think Grealish is going to walk into this 11? Yeah, not so much. All right, that'll wrap up this little transfer segment. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about strategy before we head out of here. Last year...
Can you sing it like the Bee Gees? Strategy! That's all I got.
I don't need to. You nailed it. Last season, you were kind of preaching strong defense first.
Yeah.
And that was backed up by the end of the season, that as a value group, defenders mm-hmm. tended to be at the top of that chart, and a lot of them, to be fair.
Yeah,
it wasn't just like one or two. Are you still preaching that ideology, or are you backing away a little bit from the big six defenders this year?
Here, this has gone on for more than 1 year. It wasn't just last year. The top flight teams, the top six and then the bottom 14, the top six defenders score more. They cost more, but they give you more points. I'm going to run down the last year's best point scorers from the top and from the top down. Kevin, you stop me when I get to a bottom 14 mm-hmm. team. Ready? Azpilicueta, Alonso, Otamendi, Valencia, Davis, Walker, Vertonghen, Bellerin, Moses, Monreal, Smalling, Cresswell.
Oh, Cresswell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
14th. And he had like, didn't he have 7 assists?
That's 14th.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even cheap. He's still 5.5 for a West Ham team that was absolutely poo.
Well said. No, it's a very good point.
You know, and then even the secondary defenders on the best teams, you have a little Cresswell, Maguire, Jamal Lascelles are the three in the top 20 that are the best scorers for defense.
Yeah.
I said it before when I was talking about the City defense. The top six defensive teams score 30% more points than the bottom 14 defenders. Yes, they cost 30% more most times, but
yeah.
Is the money worth it? Would you rather pay the extra dollar for 50-plus points, or would you rather save a dollar and get 50 less points?
Yeah. Is that philosophy currently reflected in your draft?
It is 100%.
Interesting. All right. As I said, there's still deadline day left to come. I'm still not a huge fan of my team, but we'll lead in with you, starting at the back with your defensive love. Who is currently in your draft for FPL?
My goalies, I still have the $9 and under bunch. I got Fabianski and Patricio. I don't see any reason there. They rotate nicely. They got
mm-hmm.
good matchups for the beginning, good matchups in the middle. You can rotate off of them when you need to. That's all that matters for me, and that's all that should matter for your goalies. And the current, like I said, $9 and under is a great thing. I'll start on my defense. I have two 4.0 defenders in my team. I'm basically going with the stars and scrubs.
Ooh.
Because you basically want to – I'm only going to start three defenders. I'm not going four wide at the back. I'm only going to play mm-hmm. three. My 4.0 punts are Aaron Wan-Bissaka and John Van Nerick.
Yeah.
They both are nailed on. They're both going to get playing time. I think Bissaka is a sleeper to be all sleeper. I think that he gets enough forward, and I've seen enough of him in the preseason
yeah.
to know that he's kind of an athletic player, and he fits into what Crystal Palace wants to do on the wings.
He finally replaces Ward, who we've been wondering for like 2 years who was going to eventually beat yeah. him out to that job.
You know, and trusting a Southampton defender right now after they've given up, I think they've given up 11 goals in their last four games in the preseason is just not something you want to do. But at 4.0 for Bednarik, he's nailed on there. I mean, I don't know who else is going to play on this, you know, Southampton defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably got Wesley Hoyt next to him, Bertrand on the one side, and if Cedric's healthy
fit
to start the season,
yeah.
yeah, I mean that'd be your defense right there. And
they
okay
have the
with that.
Third best starting schedule of any unit, so
yeah.
40 units because attack and defense are separate
you
units.
Know, the only other guy to keep an eye on there is Matty Target at 4.5. I think that he's been sneaky good. He's got 4 assists in the preseason, so keep an
true.
Eye on that.
Also, very surprised he didn't just stick at Fulham on loan or on a permanent because that
yeah.
seemed to work perfectly for them.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Also could hurt Sessegnon's value because he was allowed to finally play strictly as a winger the second they brought in Target at left back. So a chance that everybody that's in love with Ryan Sessegnon will have to deal with him playing at left back, although he was still fairly productive for a defender, just not as productive as he was, you know, when he was playing as a forward.
I just worry about Sessegnon being stuck in the back because he's getting dragged there by better players,
mm-hmm.
you know, than the championship over.
Yep. Could be.
So finish out my defense. I said I have three higher price guys or better guys. I have Andrew Robertson at 6.0. Kevin mentioned before his ownership is getting way, way up there, 15.3%. That's kind of high. 6.0. Liverpool's got an okay schedule to start, but you know what you're buying Robertson for. You're buying him because he's going to get involved in a build-up attack that's going to put some goals on the board.
Mm-hmm.
My other high price defender, Cesar Azpilicueta. Listen, there's a reason that this is the only guy. Spurs probably has the best defense when they're all healthy and all together as a team and anybody in the Premier League. That's just my opinion. Kevin will probably agree with me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take Cesar Azpilicueta and put him on Spurs, he's probably going to start.
Yeah,
that's
probably.
What, you know, for his consistency, given 6.5 price tag, I'm going to take it. He's finished in the top three in scoring the last 3 years, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's crazy. And then my other high price guy is because everybody else is doing it, so why not? He's got his own league, and that's Patrick Van Aanholt. Listen, the goals last year at the end of the season are making me roster him right now. But at 5.5, I can basically fall in love with anybody else that I want to defensively, save money and put it up towards my forward players. Because, you know, 5.5 is basically the jumping off point from either you're committed or you're just like, nah, I'll go down to 4.5 and just fall in love with somebody else and basically rotate in guys that I have at the 4.0 or 4.5 range. So through the midfield, I mentioned a lot of these guys in the show today. I have Leroy Sané. I have Mark Albrighton. I'm part of the 52.4% Mo Salah owners. I have Alexis Sanchez, and I have Johan Berg Gudmundsson through my midfield. I have two punts there. Not too happy with it, but rotationally, I think Gudmundsson could be a decent play with Southampton, Watford, Fulham, first three games. Could be a sneaky play. And Leicester has United, Wolves, and Southampton, so I could basically flip-flop there, depending on how involved Albrighton is in the beginning of the year. But remember this, Kev. Everybody in the beginning of the year is only going to be in love with their roster for 3 weeks, because guess what happens after week three? There's an international break. So guess what? We're all going to reevaluate our entire team, and everybody's going to wild card and basically start over again. Basically, whoever did good in the first 3 weeks is going to be on everybody's team.
And then we'll have a nice template for like 8 weeks, and it's going to be awful.
Absolutely. I'm currently on Sané right now. His price tag's 9.5. I don't know if I'm going to commit to having him. I want someone from City. You brought up great points about Bernardo Silva, and I did as well with the minutes, points for minutes and stuff like that. But you definitely want someone from City in your lineup at all times, especially through the midfield, or even in the forward ranks. But you definitely need somebody there. Alexis Sanchez is kind of my shot in the dark here. I've liked what I've seen from him preseason, and he's kind of shut up a little bit. So that's always a good time to buy into Alexis Sanchez when he isn't pouting. Leicester, Brighton, and Spurs, their first three games. So you're paying 10.5. You basically want two goals in those three games, and you basically are getting your money back, because after that, you're probably going to punt them. Up front is where it gets weird for me. I do not own Aguero. I do not own anybody over 7.0.
Oh, wow.
As a striker. I have Josh King, Mark Arnautovic, and Cenk Tosun as my three strikers right now.
Ooh, you know I've been high on Tosun this preseason.
Yeah, I am as well. I am also very, very high on Josh King right now at 6.5. I think that this is, from what I've seen of him from the Bournemouth games, he looks like he's been giving the space to be Josh King of 2 years ago and be involved and be the guy up top. When you look at the Bournemouth striker situation, is there anybody there, Kev, that you love besides more than Josh King? Callum Wilson, Defoe,
Lyle Musette. Oh, at Bournemouth? No.
Yeah. I mean,
I will have his moments, but I think we've seen when King gets regular minutes and is given kind of a focal point in that attack, what he can do.
Yeah, he's crazy good. It's like when Stanislas goes crazy. He's either hit or miss. I think that this is the time for King to be a hit. I think he's going to do it right off the bat. Arnautovic, everybody knows what he's been doing this preseason. I think that everybody's buying into what West Ham has bought over this transfer window to, you know, accentuate his goal scoring. And I think that he is the tip of the spear guy. I don't think there's anybody next to him. I don't even think Chicharito is in the conversation here. But, you know, being surrounded by Felipe Anderson, Yarmolenko, has got to be a plus from what we saw from West Ham last year. Finishing near the bottom of the table and chances created is just bad.
And if Pellegrini allows them to, this could be a fantastic counterattacking team.
Yeah, but the only problem I worry about West Ham is they're going to have to outscore teams, because they're not defensively, they're not going to be stout enough.
Agreed.
To hold teams out. You know, Crespo is a shade of what he was 3 years ago. Yes, Crespo is a phenomenal going forward player, but when he has to track back, he's not so good. He got exposed when he was on the England team, you know, and then you worry about the cohesiveness in the back. You know, they brought in Asiop. And, you know, thank God Pavel Zabaleta isn't playing anymore. That's all I got to say. Cenk Tosun is my other striker. How could you not love what Everton has at the beginning of the season? 7.0, I'm going to buy it right now. You know, he had five goals last year in just under 1,000 minutes. If he gets 2,500 minutes, he's going to score 18. Period.
Yeah. On my team, obviously, we do have a little bit of a similar think sometimes. But not too much crossover this year, it has to be said. And part of that might be that I've kind of betrayed my own philosophy to get Aguero in. And now I'm worried about that based off of what Richard told me at the weekend. For me at the back, I have a different pair of 4.5s, Matty Ryan and Asmir Begovic. Mm-hmm. Bournemouth have to be better this year than they were last year in defense. They just do. I don't really have anything to back that up. They just should be better. And they do have a very, very kind start to the season.
And they got Spider Rico now. Spider Rico.
They do, and hopefully that doesn't mess up my first defender, which is Charlie Daniels at 4.5. Then along the back line, you also have Callum Chambers at 4.5, new Fulham boy at 4.5. I previously had your boy, Femenya, in here, but still waiting to see whether or not... sorry, what was I talking about?
Watford defense.
Oh, right. Still waiting to see if Femenya... Sorry about that. Still waiting to see if Femenya will fully win that job over Janmaat, or if Janmaat will play further forward, which he did at times last season, but doesn't seem very likely because they got De La Feu back on a permanent. So we'll see what happens there. So that concern is why I shifted over to Chambers so early. I also have Wan-Bissaka. I do think he starts in at 4.0, pretty much a must-own. Instead of Robertson, I've switched down to Alexander-Arnold because he'll get all the same clean sheets. Robertson only had 5 assists last year. I say only, admitting that that is still like tied for like 4th or 5th in defender assists, and that he only really played half a season. But I just needed that extra buck so that I could get Aguero in, but we'll talk about that later. I also have Cedric in at 4.5, has a very good starting schedule, and because I have a whole bunch of all the same price defenders, it really doesn't matter if he doesn't start week one. I fully concede that defense is where the points are, but again, I really had to mess with stuff to get my forward set up. But as I said in the preseason, my main point spot was going to be in midfield, but I've had to mess with that because I really wanted to have De Bruyne, Eriksen, and Salah, who very easily were in front of every other midfielder in my personal ranks. Sterling could get up there, but wasn't. De Bruyne should have just had way more counting stats than he ended up with last season. So instead of him, because we're still not sure if he's starting, I do have Bernardo Silva in. Pep told me to, so I did. We'll find out whether or not he's a liar. Then also have Eriksen next to him at 9.5. Have seen some people saying if Kane isn't there for week one, doesn't that hurt Eriksen? No, Eriksen is actually very effective when he's the lead man for both Tottenham and for Denmark. So I'm absolutely fine with that. Now the big one. Wrote a piece over at Razzball with you there, Rob. I currently do have Mohamed Salah in my team at 13.0. There are so many question marks in FPL right now that I'm willing to pay the extra 2.0 to be guaranteed a player that's going to both start and be a good captain option in week one against the weak West Ham defense that we literally were just alluding to. So he does make the cut. My Everton drip of investment is in Richarlison at 6.5, listed as a midfielder, going to obviously be playing on that left wing for them. I just think I'm deciding to trust in Marco Silva's Richarlison, not Watford's Richarlison. Because what he did the first half of the season under Silva was incredible. Silva left, he was bad again, and now he's at Everton. It is worth noting that as far as touches in the box go, which listeners of the show from last year will know is a stat that we started to really fall in love with, only 5 people finished ahead of them. 3 of them were Kane, Aguero, and Sterling, Kane, Salah, and Sterling, all of whom finished in the literally top 3 points. Yeah. So that kind of gives you an indication. The other one was Zaha, who obviously missed a lot of matches. So I'm all on board. Oh, and Sané, sorry. That's 5. I know how to count. So I'm all on board the Richarlison train. Stevens is my price dump in midfield, but you raised some good points earlier. Then up front, I've had Zaha and Firmino since my very first draft. And then, like I said, I brought in Aguero. I'd finally gotten over all my doubts, and then Richard put all these new doubts in my head.
Damn you, damn you, dick.
Yeah, what are you thinking, Richard, you jerk face? So we'll see what happens there. And the problem here is that the player I upgraded from and the player that I was feeling comfortable with owning was Chris Wood, who now with the Vidra news and the fact that Wood is still dealing with a niggling injury, makes him less viable. So that's why I said this team may not fully represent how my team will look come the start of the season.
Mine's not even close.
Yeah, but we're drifting towards the hour mark, so we'll end it here. Hopefully we gave you advice on both the transfers that have happened and a little bit of advice on what could happen on Thursday. But that'll do it for us today. So, Rob, tell the folks where they can get at you.
You can find me on Twitter at FPL_MNOP or find my writings, musings, and stylings on razzball.com.
Yeah, and I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries. You can find me on Twitter at Kevroff. You can find my writings over at Goal and Goal Betting. Also, like I said, did a little piece for Razzball. I may be there every now and again throughout the season, so check out there as well. Also, mentioned the EPL Roundtable a few times here because we have on journalists and reporters for all these different clubs. And if there's news like, you know, Aguero and Pep's issues and how it may result in him not playing a lot of minutes, you'd rather know that than not. So be sure to check that out. The Championship Pod, also good, less helpful in fantasy, unless you're talking about guys like Bobby Reed and Matty Vidra here. So anyway, that's it for us today. Thanks so much for listening. Best of luck to you in Match Week 1, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.